I would call this 1,400th meeting. 1,400 meetings.
I've been at every one.
Have you? Of the Board of Directors to order, I would ask for an approval of the agenda. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Approval of the minutes of September the 24th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public comment. We have one individual signed up to be heard. That's Bill Orleans.
I have just one question, and while it may be seen today, it's probably cool that someone, either a board member or staff, could do so. And this question I asked in this format, making public comment to the board, I consider the equivalent of making a part. So I would expect, it's not been done in the past when I've made similar requests, but I would expect that this question should be answered at some point simply because I'm asking it in this format. 2 weeks ago, when I arrived for a committee meeting, I noted that there was a meeting in this room. It looked more interesting than any of the board's committee meetings, so I attempted to enter. I was told that I may not. I'm told that it was a meeting having to do with resolution of various problems that the Federal Transit Administration has indicated WMATA, we at WMATA have as an agency, and maybe the board has, and maybe certain staff have. My question is, why? Who made the decision that a member of the public could not attend that meeting? I look forward to an answer. Thank you very much.
I don't know about the meeting, but I'm sure that the staff will provide an answer in the spirit of it being a PARP request. The next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Okay. Oh, there we are. Good. Thank you very much for letting me speak to you for a couple of minutes this morning. I apologize. I know I missed last month's meeting and learned about it the day after the meeting, so I apologize for that. I want to say a couple of things. First, I'd like to say thank you to some people that have given us an awful lot of support in the past. General Manager Charles, who has been very fair, tough, demanding on the committee, and has given us a lot of good accessibility improvements over the years. He's been excellent to work with. We appreciate his honesty and forthrightness and ability to work with him and making his staff available to us. I think one of the reasons why we're successful and able to give you the information that that you need is because of his support. And when we wanted to do something that's been outside the scope or outside the lines of what we could do, he's let us know. But he's always been fair and straightforward with us. And I find that that's very good. And I hope that whoever we get as a replacement will be able to have the same good luck that we have with the current general manager. Loida has been terrific support to us. Carol Kissel also it was terrific support to our committee. A lot of times when we needed support, we needed information, access to information, we were able to discuss with both of those individuals what we needed. They also indicated to us what was allowable and what was maybe a little bit out of bounds, and would work with us to make sure that the product that we were able to give you had been vetted through the proper people, proper channels. I think it makes what we do better, and certainly what we give to you more professional. So thank you to all those individuals. And I know Phil has another person he wants to thank after I'm done. We have an award ceremony, accessibility award ceremony, Richard Hedinger Award on November 19th. We certainly would love as many board members as can attend that to do so. We've had that over the last number of years, been very well attended, very successful. A lot of the reasons why we have increased accessibility within the system is because of the support you give us. So if you can make it, we'd love to see you. And then based going over a couple of things that we talked about this morning with the executive committee, we talked about working elimination of bus routes and the impact that the elimination of bus routes would have on Metro Access customers. There's a process in place for making sure that if bus routes get eliminated, Metro Access customers won't be left out in the cold. I've been around for a number of years here, and I was not aware of that policy. So learned something new today, and I appreciate that. And the other area that I think that we had a good discussion on also dealt with bus stops, working with the local jurisdictions to make sure the information that they are going to be supplying to the system is going to be accurate and timely, and then also working with the current GIS bus stop inventory system to make sure that that's part of the tracking system, bus tracking system, I think is going to be also very good information. I think what it's going to allow us to do is to be able to go forward and figure out where we are with respect to the jurisdictions on accessible bus stops. And one of the things that we want to try to look at is to put perhaps rather than a 1% improvement, let's say, on the bus stop area within the jurisdictions, perhaps give a number of bus stops within a certain jurisdiction, a targeted number of bus stops that need improvement, so that we can start to track those improvements and report to you on a monthly basis. What I would like to be able to do is to come back to you and to say, particularly on the lighting project, that we are ahead of schedule or that we're behind schedule in these areas, and do the same thing with the bus stop inventory program, that we are ahead of schedule or behind schedule within these certain jurisdictions so we can start to track our progress. Those are reports that we get on a monthly basis, and I think that for us to be able to tell you then what is working and what is not working, or what we need to improve, or if we're exceeding expectations, I think it's an important thing for you to know. We wouldn't be able to do any of this work without your support, staff support from WMATA, financial support to enable these programs to go forward. So anything that we can do to improve accessibility, bus, rail, metro access in the system. This is why we're here, here to support disability community, the board, and the staff. Thank you very much. Phil, I think you wanted to say a word. Are there any questions for me before you get the boss here?
Thank you.
No questions. Thank you.
Over the last 4 years, the Fair Policy Working Group, the AAC, has working very closely with staff, and we've got a lot of really good staff on accessibility, Carol Kistel, someone who I'd really like to say, Marcella Costa, who's going to be leaving the board. Marcella is here to the finance subcommittee, tough job, and he's always run very open meetings. We
Thank you so much for your comments, and I do appreciate it. I'll miss the good work that you've done over the years at your organization and the committee. Thank you so much.
I just had one request. I note in the written report that your committee was provided by the staff a customer satisfaction comparison for Metro Access and other properties. I just ask that we get that as well.
Yes, we will do that. That was a presentation to our Metro Access staff. We will include it. And it was a good report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Walker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My regular monthly report is included in your board briefing material and is posted on the WMATA website. Today, I must go off script to express RAC members' concerns about the closing of the Blue Line on Veterans Day to accommodate the concert without. First, let me start by saying thank you to the good offices of the board secretary, WMATA staff, specifically Rob Troop, Lynn Barisak, and Dan Stuster, arranged a teleconference to brief me on the details of the day within an hour of my inquiry to WMATA staff. We are now more fully aware and informed about the operational complexities and considerations to form the basis of the plan. But after a day or two of some discussion with RAC members, both online and at a committee meeting last night, here's where we are. We are concerned about the closing of the Blue Line, period, full stop. It is something that we believe has never been done, and we are fearful that this might set a dangerous precedent as a go-to solution for handling the large crowds that occur on the 4th of July and inauguration day. Why is this an option when it has never been done before, to our knowledge? It appears that the opening of the Silver Line is the event that makes some level of pause. Why close the Blue Line all day for a concert that begins at 7 p.m., with some events beginning at 4 p.m.? Why not at least open the Blue Line and let it remain open until noon to get folks to work who must work on Veterans Day, and for those who want to travel to Arlington Cemetery to pay tribute to their loved ones without adding extra transfers and or multimodal rides? Last month, the RAC had a presentation on the modest customer care plan. In my opinion, it reflects a turnaround, a genuine knowledge center of WMATA truly understands, values, and respects the importance of current and future customers' needs, and knows what it needs to do. After putting safety in the number one position, it needs to provide riders with a world-class system to serve. As you probably know, my Blue Line riders have been among the most vocal about their concerns. I just happened to come across a March 2013 report by my predecessor, Chair Ben Ball, and he noted that after a presentation on the Silver Line plan, that, quote, Blue Line riders will be paying peak fares for non-peak services. In that report, we asked Metro to find a way to ease their pain in the terms of alternative service or temporarily reduced fares. Metro's received response to their concern closing the Blue Line to its regular base of non-federal riders seen as a cavalier disregard. I know that this item is on your consent agenda, and I think this means there is likely to be no discussion before voting approval unless the director asks that it be removed from that agenda. We are asking if you consider such a step so that the plan can be fully aired. If that is not feasible in order to meet the timeline for having a financial agreement in place, please consider decoupling the operational plan to finance. The other concerns I have are these. A lot of the information that first appeared in the media was incorrect and muddy. The first WMATA advisory wasn't crystal clear about the closing of the Blue Line all day. As late as this morning, riders have to click on the news heading on the Metro website and scroll down the page to find out that the Blue Line was closed. Please check that out. Some of the information is at first glance confusing. For example, if the blue line is closed, then what does it mean to all patrons except the Smithsonian? We are sympathetic to the difficulties involved in correcting information by the press once it's come out. We also know that it's difficult to prepare clear information to such a wide array of customers. It is a grave concern to us that less than 3 weeks before the event, most riders in Washington do not know you intend to close the event. RAC members hope that Metro will renew its plans for concert sales with an eye toward minimizing the burden on Blue Line riders. We are not reassured that a complete closure of Blue Line is optimal for handling both large.
Thank you. As mentioned, we're celebrating Marcel's last board meeting. And while I have some formal remarks, I'd like to preface them with a personal recognition of all of our appreciation of the experience about the transit industry that Marcel has brought to the board, our appreciation for his professionalism, the fact that he is calm in the midst of storms, our appreciation of the fact that he is a gentleman in the finest sense of the word, and has brought a aura of calm to the extent that that is possible to the board. And I personally will miss your presence on the board. And as I said, I'm not going to lose touch in the future. I consider you to have become a friend. So thank you for the service. Marcel has been on the board of directors since 2010. And over the past 2 years, Marcel served as the chair of the Finance Administration Committee at a time when there was a lot of finance and administration work to be dealt with by the committee. He has done an enormous amount of homework in preparing for those committees with the staff, and with that, I would take the opportunity to read the resolution. Whereas Marcel Acosta has faithfully represented the United States federal government on the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Board of Directors since January of 2010, both as an alternate and as principal director, and whereas Mr. Acosta served as the chair of the board's Finance Administration Committee from March 2012 through October 2014, providing stewardship and leadership over the approval of WMATA's operating and capital budgets for fiscal year 13, 14, and 15. And whereas, as chair of the Finance Administration Committee, Mr. Acosta championed aligning the budget with the business plan to support Metro's strategic plan, and whereas Marcel Acosta's planning expertise and knowledge of the transit industry was especially instrumental in the development and adoption of Metro WMATA's board-led strategic plan Momentum, whereas Mr. Acosta's commitment to diversity and an inclusive work environment served as an inspiration for the creation of Metro's first Diversity and Inclusion Week, which will be held October 27th, 2014. And again, a recognition that that was a personal effort on Marcel's part, which we all appreciate. Whereas Marcel has demonstrated an unwavering commitment to developing consensus on among the members of the WMATA Board of Directors to ensure the board fulfills its responsibility for policy, financial direction, oversight, and relationships with WMATA customers, jurisdictional partners, and signatories in an efficient and effective manner. And whereas Mr. Acosta has announced that he is leaving the WMATA Board of Directors on November 1st, now therefore be resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Marcelo Casa for his years of service and leadership as a member of the board, and be it finally resolved that this resolution shall be effective immediately. I move the approval of the board's resolution. Motion made and seconded several times. Any comment that anyone would like to make at this time? Mr. Nickel.
Make sure my light's red. Mr. Costa would turn my light red sometimes. I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity and to have shared and served with you. Whenever we go to these meetings, I always am comforted when I see you there, because what you bring is a perspective and a discipline that is critically important to the process, in terms of discipline, in terms of intellectual integrity, and discipline in terms of process, discipline in terms of accountability, and you honor process and you honor outcomes in a way that is really critically important to what we do, and you actually do it in a way that I enjoy working with you. So, and I know that we all do. It's a privilege to serve with you. Most of the time when someone leaves and I say how valuable they are, I say it's great that we'll miss you, but we can always find somebody better. I have to say that in this case, we may find an equal, maybe, but we certainly won't find anybody better. And I appreciate the opportunity to work with you. My wife said to thank you for recommending great hotels that are inexpensive also. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, your resolution was very much all-inclusive, but I think many of us note that Marcel goes about his work very quietly, but we would not be clear if we didn't note that he speaks up quite clearly about those things that are extremely important. And I've appreciated the opportunity to work with him through these years, and I wish him well. We have grown a lot from his presence and participation on this board, and it's been a very good experience serving.
Mr. Downey?
Just a note, as the first departing federal member, I'm still sentenced to further service. I think Marcel has really been the epitome of what a federal perspective can bring to the board, outside the jurisdictions, but responsible for what the agency produces and for good liaison with what the federal government interests are. I've enjoyed working with him.
Ms. Stein?
I've had the pleasure of sitting next to Marcel for 4 years, on one side or another, in my role, and I've also had the pleasure of being his vice chair for the last year and a half or so on finance, and we talk a lot, the 15 or 16 of us, about what our role really is. We are a governing board, and we bring our various levels of expertise kind of below that governance level to the table with us. Marcel has had an amazing capacity to never lose sight of what the governance question was before us. Regardless of how far in the weeds we wandered, he had a really wonderful way of bringing us back to what our task was. And I've learned a lot from watching you do that. And I think those lessons that you taught us are part of why we have been able to be effective the last several years, even as the times have been very difficult for the agency. So I want to say thank you for being such an awesome teacher, and wish you well on whatever you do. We will miss you. I agree with Alvin. There may be others as good as you, but I don't think anybody can surpass it. So thank you.
Thank you for the kind comments. When I started, my hair was much darker, and I have more of it, but it's been that long. But it has been a privilege to serve on this board. I think I admire each and every one of you on this board. I think we conduct ourselves in a dignified and meaningful way. And I also think this is the one place where we come together as a region, where much is at stake, and that I think we've always been able to set aside our differences and work towards the common good of our region, as well as our customers and our employees, which we all have a responsibility for. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of this board, and I know that this board will continue to do so in the future. I'd also like to thank the staff for the wonderful work that they do. Mr. Charles, I know, is going to leave us soon, but it's been a terrific opportunity to work with somebody who's come in here when times were really tough and in terms of our operations and safety, and really had put together a team that made it work well and better. But we still have a lot more work to do as an organization. I think the next selection of the CEO is going to be an important step for this organization. But this is something that we continually try to do as an organization to improve ourselves and also make this system a one that we could all be proud of. And I know that we have a ways to go still, but I know that we aren't able to get there. Finally, I'd like to thank the staff at Wabana, the working employees, the people out of the field, for their work, because I think without them, it's essentially an organization that wouldn't work. And I know that a lot of them take it very seriously, and they're professional, and I don't think we give them enough credit, but they are out there working for us day to day. So thank you to them.
Thank you. No further comment, I would ask for a vote on the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Marcel, they tell me we have to go out to the portion of it. Next, we're recognizing another departure from a role, but not from the authority. Our former board secretary, Lloydis Akira, is taking or has taken a new position with the Metro Transit Police. Ms. Akira has provided tremendous support to the board since 2008. While the public has seen Lloyd in action at our meetings and at public hearings, she has provided assistance in countless ways behind the scenes and whenever called upon by the board. We sincerely appreciate her hard work and dedication over the last 6 years, and as such, we are pleased that she is not going very far away and will stay here at Metro so that we can continue to benefit from her skill in her new role as manager of administrative services for MTPD. Lloyd, in tribute to your professionalism and commitment to WMATA, I'd like to read the following board resolution. Whereas Lloyd Akira has serving as the board secretary of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, has provided outstanding support to members of the board since 2008, and whereas Ms. Akira's hard work and dedication over the last 6 years is evident in many projects and initiatives, including but not limited to the introduction of paperless board meetings, supporting the development of the first board resolution database, assisting with the transition of a new board, administering numerous public hearings, overseeing the preparation of board materials and minutes and countless meetings, and in general, providing support and assistance wherever called upon. Whereas Ms. Akira has served as a vital link between the board and the Writers Advisory Council and the Accessibility Advisory Committee, and whereas Ms. Akira has also provided thoughtful and valuable service to Metro's customers during public hearings in response to correspondence and calls, and while volunteering as a Metro information person during major service events, and whereas WMATA will continue to benefit from her dedication and commitment as she takes on her new role in the authority as manager of administrative services for MTPD. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Metro Board of Directors wishes to express its sincere gratitude to Loida for her professionalism and commitment to WMATA. Be it further resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors extends its appreciation to Ms. Secura for her 6 years of dedicated service to the board, and also conveys its best wishes as she continues her career with the authority in her new position with MTPD. I now move approval of the board's resolution recognizing the Secura service to Metro. Motion made and seconded. Are there any comments to be made?
I'll just be very brief. As chair of the governance committee, I had an opportunity to work directly with Loida on a number of different issues, and I was always impressed, no matter how late at night I would send an email with a request or a question, that within 5 minutes I'd get a response back. And she's just done a yeoman's job, and the board greatly appreciates it. I'm certainly miss having you around, but on a personal level, I will miss attending the public hearings when you would normally bring your two young daughters and I would have a chance to say hello to them. So maybe you can still bring them to the hearings, even though you're not on board, Senator. Good luck.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to also say thank you to Loida. Loida was the board's first secretary, and she had quite a job of getting acclimated to this job and dealing with a very multitude of responsibilities. I wanted to thank you most importantly for the role that you've played with the advisory committees as well, because when we established them, the board wanted to be able to have the opportunity that they could contribute to the work that we do, giving us that firsthand information. And without your office having the responsibility to ensure that they could function well, we would have been absent that. And we really appreciate the work that you've done. I wish you well in your new position, and I'm sure you will attain the same success. So thank you very much.
Mr.
Just very briefly, I want to say thank you also. And just on a personal level, we will occasionally laud ourselves for our collegiality and our, as a board, and how hard we work at coming, at creating and doing what we do. But it's such a refreshing opportunity to have had an opportunity to work with you. Professionally, your disposition never varies. Your demeanor is always pleasant and accommodating, even when I know you must be thinking that we're nuts, and probably we verge on it sometimes, but I really respect and appreciate your professionalism and your capacity to understand, move, and act and respond and do it with such a high degree of professionalism and demeanor, and it's I do appreciate it, and thank you very, very much.
Thanks. I also want to say thank you, and I'd like to offer that I think I have a unique perspective because I worked for Metro and interacted with Loida, and thought that was a full-time job until I came over to the board side and see all the support that you offer to this board. And I don't think that many people recognize how big the responsibility is and how great you've done on both sides, working with Metro staff and their relationships with the board, and then the other way from the board level. So thank you very much.
Hearing no further comments, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed? Well, Loida, come to the middle. And a brief unpaid announcement for all of those of you who might be interested in the job of secretary of the board. There is an announcement posted on the WMATA website under personnel opportunities. Anybody with any interest, I would encourage you to go to the site, look at the job requirements, and if you're interested, put in an application. So it is wide open. There are there is an understanding of the difficulty of filling this position with someone who's equal to Lloyd's skills, but we're optimistic. So check it out. Next. The general manager's report. Sorry, it took me a while to get the right screen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. I'd like to review some of the special events we're working on, starting with the Marine Corps Marathon being held this coming Sunday, October 26th, in Arlington and the district. We expect 35,000 runners and 10,000 spectators to participate in both a marathon and a 10K race beginning at 7:55 a.m. The 10K starts on the National Mall, closest to our Smithsonian Station. And the marathon begins right outside the Arlington Cemetery Station. So we're keeping that station closed until 8:30 a.m. after the race has cleared the area. Runners should use our Pentagon Station for easy access to the start line. Or for a less crowded trip, consider walking over from Pentagon City. To accommodate the crowds, Metro Rail will open 2 hours early at 5 a.m. with increased service on the Blue Line. Buses will be detoured around the course, and Pentagon Station bus service will be moved to Pentagon City, and Roslyn bus service will be moved to Oak Street. This is an exciting annual event, and this year Metro collaborated with the organizers to create a smart trip card branded with the words OORAH, the Marine Corps battle cry. Metro is preparing for another major event coming up on Veterans Day, the Concert for Valor, which could bring as many as 800,000 people to the National Mall for a nighttime concert. Confirmed performers represent virtually every musical genre and include Bruce Springsteen, Metallica, Rihanna, and Eminem, along with celebrity appearances by Jon Stewart, Jamie Foxx, and Tom Hanks. And there might be more to come. I applaud HBO and Starbucks for their efforts to salute active duty military and veterans with this high-profile concert. However, this event has not benefited from the many months of preparation customary for large-scale events on the Mall. In fact, we first learned about the concert just a few weeks ago, and many critical details involving crowd management, street closures, and bus staging areas are still being nailed down. For example, we just yesterday received a presentation on the traffic management plan, and we are working as quickly as possible with DDOT, who is dealing with the same time constraints we are, to understand how bus routes and pedestrian flow will be impacted. Another issue that has made planning difficult is the uncertainty around how many people will attend the concert. While event organizers have said there may be 250,000 attendees, the National Park Service permit for the event has a number as up to 800,000. So we're preparing for the largest crowd in order to provide safe, reliable service for our customers. Our staff has developed a comprehensive service plan to safely and efficiently transport hundreds of thousands of concert goers on Metro Rail and Metro Bus, and to be ready for the regular commute a few hours later. With an expected 10 p.m. finish to the concert, it will take several hours to get a crowd of this size through the system. To give you a sense of the time it may take, 4th of July draws about 200,000 riders on Metro to the Mall, and it takes 2 hours to clear. With as many as 800,000 attendees, we are potentially looking at a long night to safely transport the concert attendees. Veterans Day is a federal holiday, so we will operate enhanced Saturday service. which means service levels will gradually ramp up to rush hour levels before and after the event. And we will have more eight-car trains ready to go throughout the system to accommodate the crowd surges during certain times of the day. The Metrorail system will close at midnight. However, we have committed to continue transporting passengers until the crowds are cleared. We have designated 9 stations around the mall where people in line at the midnight closing time will be granted access. Those stations are Archives, Capitol South, Federal Center, Federal Triangle, Gallery Place, Judiciary Square, L'Enfant Plaza, Metro Center, and Union Station. The one exception on concert day is Smithsonian Station, which, at the request of the Park Police, will be closed all day. Consistent with our recent discussions about 8-car trains, it is important to note that we simply do not have enough cars to scale up for this event without borrowing from somewhere else on the system. Therefore, based on ridership, we will replace Blue Line service on Veterans Day only with additional Yellow Line trains running between Franconia, Springfield, and Greenbelt. A bus shuttle also will provide a direct connection for Blue Line riders between Pentagon and Roslyn stations operating every 12 minutes throughout the day. While I recognize that this service change will inconvenience people who are traveling to work in the private sector that day, this is an extraordinary event and requires an extraordinary response. This plan will provide a faster, more direct, and transfer-free trip to the mall for thousands of Virginia riders, as well as more frequent service and more capacity to the mall for riders in the district and Prince George's County, as well as Montgomery County. Arlington Cemetery is the only Blue Line station in our system that is not serviced by another line. And it's important that we maintain service to this station, particularly on Veterans Day, when many family members and others travel to the cemetery to honor our fallen soldiers. Therefore, we will run a special shuttle train every 15 minutes between Arlington Cemetery and National Airport stations from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Of course, there will be no scheduled track work anywhere on the system that day to allow trains to operate frequently and without delay. Metro Bus will also operate on a Saturday supplemental schedule, and a number of buses will be staged strategically around the mall to supplement regular bus service following the event. I also want to let everyone know that in addition to the concert on the mall, HBO plans to provide a live broadcast of the show for free to every household in the United States with a cable subscription. That's fantastic news for new music fans from coast to coast, including those in our region who might decide that the best seat in the house could very well be in the comfort of their own home. Now, on a personal note, and speaking on behalf of all our employees, I want to go back to talk about Marcela Costa. Many things have been said, all good things this morning, and it's hard to add anything to that. In some respects, I'm just repeating that. But Marcela, I want to tell you how much I appreciated your leadership on the Finance Administration Committee. During some very difficult times, you led us calmly and thoughtfully through the issues that we have to address. I also want to thank you for the inspiration you gave us, really, and your initiation, making us think differently about diversity in this organization and how we address it, which led to the creation of Diversity Week. I really appreciate that. And one that hasn't been mentioned, but will impact Metro forever, will be the upcoming discussion of our historic status. And Marcel has been very gracious in giving guidance and advice to us on how to approach that, as it will impact how we improve the system in the future, still staying in terms of the historic context of the system. But in general, your sound advice and your guidance has been much appreciated, not only by me, but the rest of the executive leadership and the influence of that on our employees. So thank you very much, Marcel. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, it seems like this might be the best moment to ask for staff's response to the question that Ms. Walker raised, given that Mr. Charles has just walked us through the current plan and some of the issues. So her question really was, is it possible to run the Blue Line for some portion of the day and then move to the plan that you've laid out?
That was something that was thought about.
I was going to do that on the, by removing the consent item calendar, putting it in a regular,
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion item.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. So
that's okay. It seemed to fit better around the financial implication of the decision.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, you turn your mic on, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
It is on.
It is on. Just soft-spoken. There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. We're going to take it up. I did not know that you had that plan. Sorry.
Mr. Giancola?
Yes, thank you. Could we also talk about the estimates for this concert at that time? I question whether we'll ever get near 800,000. I'm just remembering back for the rally to restore sanity that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert had, and it was televised, and it was, you know, certainly for older folks, not necessarily the young folks, it was much easier to watch it on TV than to go physically to the site. And I just kind of curious on what the numbers were on that particular event. And in fact, if it's more of a 4th of July scope of event, you know, we haven't closed the blue line on that occasion. So maybe we need to look at how we estimate for the event.
We'll have the conversation with by taking that consent item and turning it into a regular discussion item. Ms. Bowser is not going to be at the meeting today. She asked if I would introduce the item on behalf of PPDRE on the approval to execute a lease agreement with the Food and Drug Administration for parking at White Plant. The resolution is in your book, and I would read part of it. Whereas the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has opened new offices at 11601 Lansdowne Street in Rockville, Maryland, and requires 150 parking spaces for employees. And whereas the FDA has proposed to lease 150 parking spaces at White Plant Metro Rail Parking Garage to satisfy this requirement. And whereas the White Flint Metro Rail parking garage has a total capacity of 1,270 parking spaces, and 350 to 450 of the parking spaces are vacant daily. And whereas the FDA will pay the non-rider rate of $8.60 per parking space per day, or $335,400 annually, and agree to vacate if and when the parking spaces are required for riders. And whereas the Montgomery County Department of Transportation has recommended actions to be taken by the FDA in order to achieve the non-auto driver mode share goals established for the White Plant Sector Plan. And whereas the proposal will generate revenues and provide the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority with the flexibility to recapture the parking spaces if and when needed for riders, now will therefore be it resolved that the Board of Directors approves a lease of 150 parking spaces at the White Plant Metro Rail Parking Garage, and be it further resolved that the FDA will not be eligible for annual renewals of the lease if the FDA is not making progress on achieving the non-auto driver mode share goals established for the White Plant Sector Plan, and any traffic mitigation agreement applicable to the FDA site as determined by the WMATA Board of Directors, and be it finally resolved that this resolution shall be effective immediately. I would ask for, I would make the motion to approve the resolution.
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman. I just would note that Mr. Dyke has left the room and I will be voting for him.
Motion made and seconded. Is there discussion? Is there any discussion for this item? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. That concludes the agenda on the report for planning and development. Report by Finance and Administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following four actions were referred to the board at the October 9th meeting of the Finance Administration
meeting. First, staff sought approval for the GMCO to execute proposed revisions to the Fairfax County parking surcharge agreement as previously agreed to in the 2011 memorandum of agreement for Silver Line Phase 2, and I'd like to move approval.
Motion made and seconded. I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Next, staff sought approval to amend the FY 2015 capital reimbursement budget and authorize the purchase of buses on behalf of the District of Columbia for an expansion of the DC Circulator. This action will increase the DC Circulator project budget by $4.1 million to cover the purchase of 5 40-foot New Flyer buses and ancillary equipment. I'd like to move approval of this resolution.
Motion made and seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Next, staff sought approval to hold a compact hearing for the proposed New Carrollton Yard and Landover Station capacity improvements that are required for storage and maintenance for the additional rail cars needed for the expanded 8-car train operations. I'd like to move approval.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And finally, staff sought approval to increase the reimbursable budget for the Potomac Yard Station project from $4.6 million to $5.2 million to support the ongoing work with the City of Alexandria on the environmental impact statement for the proposed Potomac Yard and Fell Station. I'd like to move approval of this resolution.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That concludes finance and administration. Next is a report by the governance committee.
Mr. Chairman, there are two items I'd like to bring before the board today for consideration and approval. First is approval of nominations for 2015 board officers. Under the board's bylaws, the board elects its officers annually in January of each year. As the board is aware, however, there are several major items on the board's agenda for 2015. The governance committee felt it was prudent to propose a slate of officers early so that next year's leadership is known and people know the direction in which we'll be moving. Therefore, I would like to nominate the following slate of board officers for election in January. For chair, Mort Downey, vice chair, Alvin Nichols, second vice chair, Catherine Hudgens, and Tom Downs would serve as past chair. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the approval of that motion.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Next, we have approval of revisions to the board's code of ethics. The committee approved changes to the board's code of ethics. These changes track as closely as possible the standards laid out by the U.S. Department of Transportation's ethics officers and their inspector general in the revised code of ethics adopted by the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. The revised WMATA Code of Ethics accounts for key differences between the authorities, which are that WMATA has elected officials and MWA does not, and the MWA board is involved in procurement and WMATA's board is not. Within the framework established by the United States Department of Transportation, the committee favored provisions that set stringent ethical requirements and increased transparency for board processes and board member interest. The revised Code of Ethics incorporates the principles of fiduciary duties and confidentiality previously approved by this board. The revised Code of Ethics also includes input from lawyers representing the District, Maryland, Virginia, and the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. At its October 9th meeting, the committee approved, among other items, these changes to the revised code, ensuring the term jurisdiction is used accurately and consistently throughout the code. Use appearance of a conflict of interest rather than apparent conflict. Remove the exception that permitted members to participate in matters despite having a conflict. That participation is needed to obtain a quorum. Require members to include governmental positions they hold in disclosure statements. Specify the procedure for replacing a member of the ethics committee when the member has a conflict in a matter before the committee. in which case the chair consults with other members and chooses a member from the same jurisdiction, provided there is one who does not share the conflict. This is in Article 12, Part A. There has been a correction to this section. In the version staff prepared for this meeting initially and distributed to board members, the first sentence in Part A was not revised in accordance with changes approved by the Governance Committee on October 9th. This oversight has been corrected as shown in the version provided to you today, which now accurately reflect the change approved by the Governance Committee. I'd first also like to just thank the individuals who worked together to help make this happen. And with that in mind, I would like to move approval of this particular motion.
Motion made and seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I make one final comment on a personal level? I'd just like to, once again, thank all those individuals who worked very hard on this matter, which, as you know, has taken several months, but we have brought it to closure. But I especially wanted to publicly thank our general counsel and Phil Staub and the general counsel's office for the outstanding guidance and job she did in advising us as we move through this process. So thank you very much, Madam General Counsel. That concludes our report.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
Ms. Hines?
Just to make one other comment, and partly because I came in as we were going through a lot of this governance conversation, I think it's worth noting that this is the month of October, and before us, we just voted on our leadership for next year. And that is something that we haven't done in the past. But even more than that, one of the things that this board did was create the executive committee structure, which has a key member from each of the participating parties. And if folks track back through that, they will see that that has been a pretty consistent group over the last 4 years. And we need to say thank you to the four of you who have been doing that work. It is a lot more meetings. But for folks in the community who felt that perhaps the agency was whipsawed by previous practices, I hope that our action today shows the intentionality with which the leadership in this organization is continuing to move forward. And I just felt like we shouldn't do this and not have a comment on the fact that this is another example of listening and then moving forward to create dependable structures to guide the agency.
Thank you. The next item is a consent calendar. I would ask that we, instead of doing them all at once, that we attempt to do this one at a time about consent. The first consent item is the approval of indemnification for Harris Bank Monaris, which is the indemnification for the financial clearinghouse and managing of the credit card debt and credit and debit card transactions in our a new electronic fair media pilot test. Motion made and seconded for approval. And any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
The second is approval of updated delegation of authority to GM and CEO regarding executive officers of the authority. The issue before us was to make sure that we had a clean and clear statement of the board's delegations about the officers of the authority as part of a recruitment for a new general manager, so that we were absolutely clear with the right delegations. And what we would tell the new general manager was his or her responsibilities and accountabilities. And we found that in a review, when council reviewed the positions, we found that there were numerous delegations still on the books that dated from a time when the board, in effect, approved not only the hiring, but also the firing of the top 20 or so managers within the authority, a reflection on a perhaps more dysfunctional period of time at the authority, where there was a large-scale dilution of the general manager's accountability and responsibility. And this is, in effect, intended to make sure that we have a clean delegation in a single resolution for the positions that we found did not have that. Motion made for approval. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure I... Thank you. I take it from what you said that there's nothing in the compact that reserves to the board the hiring and firing and compensation for these dozen or 15 individuals. This is not a compact matter that we're delegating. And so my question then is, why is it that the attachment just lists these 12 to 15 positions that we as a board have to act on to delegate it, since we have an organization of 12,000, roughly 12,000 employees, I guess? What is it that distinguishes these dozen or 15 positions from the rest of the WMATA staff that requires the board to act on this kind of a resolution?
Mr. Chair, could I just interject here? The previous resolution, which is referenced here, had a similar list of titles, but a lot of those titles are out of date. So what we're really doing here is updating that list. There's no real change in the way we're approaching it. It's just updating the list. Chief Human Resources Officer was called something different. The Chief of Staff stayed the same. But for instance, there was Assistant General Manager of Workforce Development and Administration. That title doesn't exist anymore. There's Assistant General Manager of System Safety and Risk Management, and on and on. So really what we're doing is updating the titles to make it clear.
I understand that concept of updating the titles. I'm still not clear as to why it is just this list of 12 or 15 individuals that we have to delegate to the general manager to make decisions on hiring, firing, and compensation.
If you look, if you go back to the original resolution, which is referenced here, it took a much broader view of it in terms of what was delegated and how people were treated. That still stays in place. That has not changed. This simply changes the list of name, the list of titles. So there's a much, when you have the time, take a look at the original resolution, you'll see it treats it in a much broader context. I don't know if the general counsel wants to add anything to it, but.
Thank you, I appreciate that explanation.
Okay.
Motion. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We've agreed to take off item C so that there could be a broader discussion of the concert for Valor, and in particular, the discussion about the Blue Line, and in this case as well, any cost implications of changes. So I would ask that we have a motion on it and a second, and we can open it for discussion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
Well, let me start. Say, first of all, thank you. I think as this continues to go through iteration of changes, that
we have tried to look at the Blue Line services in order to make sure that we can do as much. But Mr. Sauls, I think the question that was raised by Ms. Walker and your presentation may be repeated in terms of the public really kind of understanding this as much as possible. Because I think the communication is going out, but I do also believe that there it is a concern. And I think we'd all love to understand the magnitude of it. And I think being able to reiterate those pieces so that we can publicly have that.
Let me talk to you a little bit. As I said, this is not proceeding in the ideal way. We would have liked to have more time, present in a more orderly fashion, and think through it. We're faced with a mass of people on the National Mall gathering during the day for a concert which has some top names to it. And others may be added to it. We don't know exactly how many people are going to show up for this. The organizers have put out 250,000, which would be roughly around what the 4th of July is, like this. This runs later than the 4th of July, talking about run to 10 o'clock. Keep your fingers crossed. The concert ends exactly at 10 o'clock. And the 4th of July usually ends around 9:30. We just clear out before closing time, 4th of July. It takes us about 2 hours and we're clear. You go much above that number, we're beyond 2 hours. We can argue about whether there's going to be 800,000 people there, 600,000 people there, 400,000 people there. It's going to go beyond 2 hours if that shows up. The question is, how much beyond that 2 hours does it go, and how much do we want to inconvenience the people next day? It's also a question, we have to get back in service the next morning. If we don't, in a good, reasonable fashion, the next morning rush hour is bad news for commuters and for the regional economy. That's on the one hand. So it's a risk. And I've been through concerts elsewhere that show up with an awful lot of people beyond what your expectations are. And the only thing you can do is run trains to get people out of there. And it's just a matter of arithmetic. You can only get so many trains through the tunnels, and you want to organize yourself in the best way to get the most efficient, effective evacuation of those people from the mall. So on one hand, hundreds of thousands of people. How many hundreds of thousands? Good question. On the other hand, it's a federal holiday. People do go to work. People do go to Arlington Cemetery, as they should, and we want to provide that access. Looking to last year, there were about 3,000 people that went to Arlington Cemetery, and then came back. Certainly important to those people, we certainly should get them to Arlington Cemetery. We're going to get them there. It may be a little more inconvenient than some other days, but we're going to get them there. There's about another 3,000 people, looking back to last year, Veterans Day, that travel on that line between Pentagon and Roslyn to either get off at Roslyn, go west, go east. So 3,000 people. You could argue it's 4,000 or 2,000. It's a few thousand people. We're pretty sure of the number of people there. We have to provide for them, and we are. They will still be able to get there. It may take a little longer. They may have to go to L'Enfant Plaza and get on the orange or the silver line there to get up to Roslyn, or they may choose to take the bus. Personally, I take the train because you don't want to go all the way up the escalators, come all the way back down, but that's up to people who have a choice to do that. So there's a risk here, folks. This is what we're dealing with. And my instructions and direction to staff was to find the way to best handle this massive crowd on the National Mall. And the most effective way to get them home as soon as possible, even though it may take hours, but to get them home as soon as possible so that we can be in a position, they can be in a position to go to work the next day or do whatever they do. Look at the railroad side of it. And also, we want to have clear information to them so there wouldn't be confusion. They could come in one way, go home the same way, and know what they're doing.
And you look at the railroad side of it. We today, every day, operate stretched, as you know. And we folks do a good job of delivering the cars for service. There's a lot more cars available for service than there used to be. There's no more cars to find to provide for longer trains or anything else. So we have to move our assets around. Question comes up, well, why don't you run the blue line for half the day and then not the other half of the day? And that's a perfectly appropriate question. Goes to two things. One is clearly communicating to our customers that you go in one way, come home another way. And for people, for strangers who are not used to riding every day, what does that mean? But also importantly for the railroad, they're operating in one configuration, and we ask them in the middle of the day to change to a totally different configuration. Different trains, different concepts, running in different locations. That'll cause confusion in the operation. What I want to see is as clean an operation, taking into account that basically my phrase is, we plan for the worst and hope for the best. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to reduce the risk. We're trying to move hundreds of thousands of people in a very short period of time after that concert ends. That was my general direction to staff. They've come up with a plan that addresses that. We're going to do our best, and we've already started the communication to have people understand what's going to go on. This is about mass transit for mass gathering. That's my general approach. I'd be glad to answer more detailed questions.
I don't see any questions, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stalls, I want to thank you because I think it is really an important piece to make sure that that information keeps being repeated to the public. And I think it answers, I think, the questions as raised by Ms. Walker in terms of what the issues are. We would love it to be different. And we are going to accept your description of how this is going to be run so that it can be as safe as possible and accommodate as many people. And we want to reiterate that the shuttle piece does make an opportunity for those from the cemetery and the airport to also have their vote. So given our capacity, the decision by the authority is that this is the best solution.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sarles, thank you. This is not easy to get this kind of dumped in your lap without the kind of time that we usually have for planning. And I want to say thank you for the work that staff has done to figure out how to move those 3,000 or 4,000 people on the Virginia side of the river efficiently in in a time when we can't have those trains running. So I do appreciate it. I think my residents will appreciate it, although I'm sure we will hear grumbling from many of them about it. I think the most important thing to do now is to communicate. I know that our public information folks are ready to help with the messages and providing as much access to our channels. I'm sure that goes for Alexandria and for the Springfield area, who also are potentially affected by this. I think the one thing we want to do here is to really put an extraordinary label on this. This is not how we as a board or how you as management and your team think we solve the regular by shutting down a line. This is, we have not enough time. We have huge numbers potentially. We're trying, as you said, to plan for the worst and hope for the best, and we'll learn a lot. But I don't want anybody in my community to be thinking that closing down the blue line is our solution to anything that is ordinary, regular, how we do business. And I am pretty sure I can see your head nod, but of course the radio or the video stream cannot.
You're absolutely right.
So I appreciate that. I'm certainly hopeful that this will work. And as the bus information continues too, I would encourage us to, these things people dribble in and then they all leave at once. And so potentially there may be a role for some of the downtown to Virginia service to be considered as a potential solution moving people out. I just don't know. I'm sure you're thinking that way too, but I'm thinking about the 3Y and the 16Y and the 7s that basically start downtown and take people out into the burbs as potential alternatives as well. And hopefully as you work that through, that too can be communicated so that folks have as many options at their disposal beyond their personal cars as we can possibly provide for them.
Mr. Giancola?
Yeah, thank you. I think Ms. Hines expressed it very well. My thoughts on it, I do support your efforts. Don't get me wrong. I just think about other concerts I've been to and not been to when they were televised, and certainly I support your decision. I think it's also worthy to note that as a fellow New Jersey person, you should probably get the boss to have a photo op with you during the, unless you already have one, you may already have one. And having been to a few concerts in New Jersey, you know, they can get pretty hectic sometimes. So thank you very much.
Mr. Downey?
Yeah, thank you for the planning that's gone into this, especially as it's evolved, the assurance that from either the north or the south, there will be access to Arlington Cemetery, and I think we need to make it clear to people who are going there what those options are. I also would ask, since this is a board action with respect to the financial issues here, can you just quickly brief what the commitment is from the sponsors to reimburse us? Have they posted bond?
South Wall. They said they will. With the authorization from the board, we will then enter into the negotiations with them. We are seeking to cover all our additional costs.
And I would also, going back to your report earlier, underscore the point that if we had the enlarged fleet that we hope to have, we'd be better positioned to undertake issues like this.
Yes.
One of the things that I would ask is that for the non-feds in the region, a lot of whom have to work that day, that there be a clear set of instructions about recommended ways to get to work, not just on the yellow line, but going home in the evening. A lot of this is not choice travel for those customers who, and I remember criticism in the past about how we actually recognize that a lot of people have to work on federal holidays. And I hope that we can avoid any of that criticism by having as much upfront information about not only what is closed, but what are realistic alternatives for people about going to and from work on this day. The other is a comment that if the Park Service thinks that it's okay to permit 800,000 people on the mall on a Monday night, that it is possible at times to say, no, this exceeds our capacity to be able to restore service in a timely fashion the next day. If this thing runs from, say, 7 to 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and it takes 3 to 4 hours to empty the mall, we're running at a pretty good clip until 2 a.m., which brings to question the ability to marshal a full rush hour the next morning if you're still running at full scale at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it is at times, I think, appropriate for the authority to say, like we do in snowstorms, we can't do it. And we respectfully suggest either that you dial back the size of the permit, or we say we can't do it.
I appreciate those comments and certainly take those into account. But in this case, I think we've found a way to do it.
Mr. Chair, ask one more question.
Sure.
Just following up on what you had. We've focused most of this discussion on the Concert for Valor and the events around the evening. But will the system be operated during the morning rush hour on a holiday schedule or a regular schedule for purposes of my parochial interest, Redline riders, of course, but I'm sure others have a concern for that issue for their riders as well.
It'll be a modified Saturday schedule. It hasn't changed since this. Let me just read you some examples, okay? I just got to find the right page. Okay. As an example, Redline, from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. From Shady Grove to Glenmont, 12-minute headways. Layered on top of that, between Shady Grove and Silver Spring, 12-minute headways. So people that are between there are seeing trains every 6 minutes. Yellow Line, Franconia Springfield to Greenbelt every 12 minutes. Huntington to Mount Vernon Square every 12 minutes. So people from King Street on in are seeing it every 6 minutes. Orange Line, Vienna to New Carrollton every 12 minutes. Willie Reston to Largo every 12 minutes. So from East Falls Church, you're seeing trains every 6 minutes. I think that's a pretty good schedule. And then it steps up, the frequency steps up to the end of the day in the evening rush hour, we're running 8-minute headways rather than 12-minute headways. So now you're seeing trains every 4 minutes on the inner thing. So this is a pretty good schedule.
So for the sort of inner suburb riders on the red line, it's going to be every 6 minutes. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
And that'll be publicized, I assume, throughout the weeks coming
part up. Part of our public information will be giving an idea of the frequencies that are in different parts of playlist button. It's certainly not going to be, a full holiday type service. It's much better than that.
Mr. Bolger?
I wanted to follow up on your comments, Mr. Chairman. When this is all done, and I hope it all works as well as we're estimating it, but I didn't know anything about this thing until I read about it in the paper, but here's my comment, that when the dust clears, can we ask the question, how does the Park Service just unilaterally give out a permit without talking to anyone that they're dependent on? And maybe our federal representatives know more. No, is there a process?
Marcel?
Marcel, answer the question.
Am I surprised at the end of the year?
Is it just like they just do this unilaterally without talking to anyone, or is it just is there a process they go through? Or
there is a process.
But I don't know how it works.
But I don't know how they. I'm not sure how they communicate that back to Vermont.
Well, it seems like they would call people in and say, hey, we got this permit, we think we're going to get this permit, how should we handle it? But I don't know if that ever happened, but it seems, let's see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. But I hate being surprised, and we're putting the system at a real risk.
Can I just add something to this?
Sure.
People are going to issue permits for whatever number they want. The people are going to show up are going to show up, and we're going to deal with it. I mean, I think it's a great thing, frankly, personally speaking, that we found a way to honor our veterans in such a massive way. And it's our job to serve those people, to get them to there and get them back. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying we got to make certain decisions. We got to get there. I think this is great.
Any other comments? If not, I would ask for a vote. I think it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the authorization for the reimbursement agreement, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed? Thank you. Report from the jurisdictions. The district has nothing to report. Marilyn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a brief comment, and then I'll yield to my colleague Michael Goldman for a quick comment. And really just resonating on the rail yards that'll be happening, the public hearing coming up in New Carrollton. Just a brief observation about New Carrollton and a couple of things coming up. Some of us were privileged to be at the early this summer at New Carrollton when the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development broke ground on the new headquarters for the Department of Housing and Community Development at New Carrollton. And if you haven't had an opportunity to be by there recently, it is stunning that there is a building there that looks like you could practically walk in right now, but it really is tremendous in terms of what's happening there in terms of the transit-oriented development. I'd take this opportunity to just mention one other thing upcoming, and that is the Purple Line is continuing to move forward and marshal its preparation for moving down. I know that in the next month, in November, the Purple Line, the Maryland Department of Transportation will actually be making a presentation to the Finance Committee on, and it will actually be the first time that in my time here, that the Department of Transportation in Maryland has had a discussion on the Purple Line, and we're looking forward to that. I've had some opportunities to get updates and see briefings on it, and it's a tremendous addition that's coming forward. It's a time of plenty in a positive way with the Silver Line opening now, with the next leg well underway. The Purple Line will add a tremendous addition to the complement of transit in the region, and it'll be a dynamically different add because it actually will be really focused on connecting communities, which is our theme. It will have 21 stations that serve an urban transportation requirement, which will really add dynamically to what we are doing from a transit system standpoint. That is the region itself, from Bethesda to New Carrollton, Riverdale, and communities that really are centers of population. So it's very exciting about what the system is doing, and looking forward to that. Thank you. Michael?
Yes, just wanted to take a moment to point out that between now and our next meeting in November, we will have elections in the United States. We will have elections statewide in Maryland and in Montgomery County and other jurisdictions throughout Maryland, as well as in the district and in some jurisdictions in Virginia. So I would take a moment to encourage everybody to use their opportunity to cast their ballot on election day and vote. It's a civic duty. It's something that we should all do, whatever our position in life is, whether it's as a member of the board or you're a rider or just an everyday citizen. So go vote on election day. Thank you.
Early enough.
Yes. You're here.
I didn't want to make a partisan. But I guess that's not partisan.
For those of you who need guidance, I'll be happy to speak to you after the session is over.
Northern Virginia?
I will follow that with a reminder that, and from Mr. Posner, who particularly shared with us that he went to vote and he noticed that the bond referendum in his jurisdiction was on the ballot, and it had the note that projects were relative to some of the WMATA projects. So we'll just say go to your polls and vote, and do vote for the bond referendum. I'll say all of ours, but most importantly, the transportation referendums that are on the ballot, which many of them are supporting contributions of either projects directly or indirectly related to WMATA. And that's all.
Mr. Dank?
Mr. Chairman, one note. I would like to remind everybody that thanks to a very nice partnership with WMATA, tonight is the opening night of the Washington West Film Festival, which is centered in Reston, Virginia, and the slogan is Silver Line to the Silver Screen. So I would strongly urge a number of you to try to participate, and this is a good way of showing that this is a regional kind of line that serves the entire region, and I'm happy to encourage you all to come out, and I can assure you there will be somewhat less than 800,000 people.
You don't know.
But we'll all be welcome very well. Thank you.
Mr. Dyke, how about Purple Line to the Purple Haze?
Hey, I'm all right. If you're performing, I'm on that train.
Mr. Downey, the federal government.
I can't top any of
that. That then concludes the business of this board meeting. Thank you.